a burning desire for fellowship with God. Father, set my soul afire that I might truly, truly look into my heart and see a great desire for fellowship. Now, over the years, we hear people talking about fellowship all the time. I've hit it many occasions. But here's the key. Father, I want to fellowship in your truth. Fellowship in your truth. Truth is of Jesus Christ. I want a fellowship in your truth. Once again, let me tell you what Scripture and how it leads us to understand to a spiritual depth of what fellowship really is. Many times we call fellowship going down to eat, fellowship getting around up here to sing, fellowship this and fellowship that. Is that fellowship? Yes, it is. Sure it is. Folks, you can go to a bar and be drunk around a table fellowshipping with the fellow drunks, right? Too many of you all are shaking your head, yes. I mean, that's fellowship of the world. So what God is saying to us, when you're looking to me, I want to give you a fellowship power. Now, as your pastor, as your friend, as part of your family, you see, we are the family of God. We need to understand something. The true biblical concept of fellowship is that when I see you and know you're hurting, I hurt with you. I'm not going to go over there and say, oh, cheer up, everything will be better later on. You're not living later on. You're living right now and you're miserable. You're hurting. You feel broken. Therefore, true fellowship for a Christian deals with you and I being able to connect through pain, through heartache, through heartbreak, through joy, laughter. In the joyous times, I want to rejoice with you. When you're hurting, I want to hurt with you. And Father, let me feel the type of spiritual fellowship to where I don't sympathize, I empathize, and I feel the hurt. And until we can accept our responsibility as Christians to be willing to hurt for those we love, to laugh with those we don't really care that much about, the best friend or some of the closest will be the enemies that you used to have that are now your friends. How did that happen? Through fellowship. Understanding one another's hurt. Now, I am not going to be able to come to you and say, okay, now, and you will see it a lot of times, especially in the Old Testament, Job's young friends coming to tell him, Job, you're a mess. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And God's already said Job didn't do anything wrong. And yet his friends come and give him all total bad advice. Bad advice. They were coming because, and they were coming through their own wisdom as they saw it. Well, you must have done something, Job. If I'd have been there at that time, I'm sure I would have said, yep, he did. He became your friend. You see, you hurt with that individual. If they're your friend because they go out and have a bad case of the stupids, does that mean that no longer are they my friend? Oh, they must not have been Christians. Apostle Paul, every sermon he preached was to the Christians. Every scripture in the Bible focuses on the believers, the church, the temple, God's house. And all of the focus is on God's children who profess to know Him. For us, I know my Father in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and said, whosoever will, let him come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus felt your pain and my pain on the cross, and he conquered it. Therefore, his church is born. The church, the Christian church, folks, is born of Christ, and he remains the head of it. Not a committee, not an association, denomination, or anything else. Jesus is still in control of the church that he gave his life for. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at me, because I have now come to be a part of who you are. See, you and I, when we said yes to Jesus, we received the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, inside of us. And the Lord says, okay, I've come to dwell within you. Larry, I'm not going to keep you from doing all that dumb stuff, but I'm always going to give you a way out of the bad and lead you in the good. I am a part of your life. I cannot do any more to get more love from Jesus than he's already given me. When Jesus says, I love you, he didn't hold back on his love. He did not say, I love you because you're acting right. I love you because of who your mama or daddy was, or grandma's, or granddad, or any other way. I love you because of who you are. And I watched you as you were being formed in utter seclusion within the womb of your mother. I watched you. You're my child. And I will tell you the right direction in which you need to go. So remember, because the Lord has given us the free will, the freedom to choose, God says, I'm living in you. Now, Larry, when you walk out that door, where you go, you're taking me. I'm not going to be able to leave Jesus at the front door of any place I go into. He is a part of my life. You and I will deal a whole generation, our own lives, focusing on trying to give more of ourselves to the Lord, because he's already given all of himself for us. But he said, you do this through fellowship. Larry, I feel your pain. I feel your hurt. I take your tears, and they mean something to me. Do you know the scripture tells us that God even has a count of tears, teardrops that you have shed? See, I thought to deal with the hair. The number of every hair on your head, your hair is numbered, and God has a record of it. After my wife got married to me, there's no telling how many tears she has shed. That's a whole book full. Don't you men smile, because I guarantee you. Life's rough, isn't it? But I don't have to walk through life on my own. I know Jesus, and he knows me. And he says, I want you to fellowship in truth. Now, Larry, if you will fellowship in truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'll read it to you in a moment. You fellowship in the truth, you may end up dying for that truth. You may end up being embarrassed. You may end up being beaten. You may end up being ridiculed. But you'll still have the truth. And I am the truth. And I'm the one that sets you free. It is the truth of who Christ is that I have hope and you have hope throughout eternity. For without the peace and the joy that only Jesus Christ can bring to our life, we would be of all men most miserable. Miserable. Do you ever just get so tired of being tired and miserable that you're miserable with all of that other? It's called life. But the Lord says, I want fellowship with truth. Because if you don't fellowship with the truth, you'll pay the consequences. The consequences are going to be there. Truth or consequences. I am the truth. Outside of me, there is no other. So outside of being a Christian, I cannot know the truth. That's why it's important for we as Christians that we will lift the name of the Lord in all that we do. To glorify Him, not to hit somebody over the head with that name. To live as Christ wants us to live is to love as Christ loves us. And He says, I want you to love with all your heart. Larry, what part of my heart did I not give to you in my love? What part of my body did I hold back because your name was coming up? Oh, I don't want to die for him, Lord. Oh, through his whole young life, he'll be a jerk. I don't want to die for him. I never even dreamed later on that I would still be a jerk as I got older. That's just what I say about grouches, jerks, and all. You may be a grouch, and you may be a jerk, you may be all the other names, but you belong to Jesus. And he had a lot of experience with those personalities, 12 of them, that walk with him. You can picture Jesus shaking his head. No wonder Jesus was in prayer all the time. Look at the 12 that was with him. Lord, they didn't mean that. Father, they didn't mean that. So the Lord looks at us and says, either fellowship with the truth. You're going to fellowship somewhere, right? You're either fellowship with the truth or you'll fellowship with the lie. You'll fellowship with heaven or you'll fellowship with hell. You will fellowship with good or you'll fellowship with evil. John 14, verse 6. God bless Doubting Thomas, but Doubting Thomas really helped us out. Because we deal with doubt, right? I know I'm going to heaven. Sure, I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. That's called doubt, folks. We don't have to have it. My trip to heaven is fully paved and underwritten by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by my actions, not by your actions, not by your will. It is the will of God that whosoever calls on the name of his son will be saved. Count on it. You're sealed, he said, by the Holy Spirit. That's me in you. Then we are told to pray for our enemies because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And anybody that messes with you, Christian, messes with God. Then why do the good die and the evil seem to flourish? Well, for one thing, what you call the good, the Christians, we don't die. God will pull us away from these bodies, he says, to protect us from the evil that's to come. I'm a spirit. You're a spirit that has a body. You're not a body with a spirit. The real you on the inside can never die. That's why it's important for us to reach and look to heaven for the truth. The truth is not in the heart of man, but in the very nature and heart of Almighty God. And God says, I am the truth. And speaking to Thomas in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then you had Andrew, one of the others, saying, Lord, show us the Father and we'll believe you. What does Jesus say? Andrew, don't you understand? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We do not worship three separate gods. There is one God, Jehovah God. The Lord thy God is one. God chose how to relate to us so that you and I could experience his love through his son, Jesus. If Jesus had not come in the flesh, how many people would say, well, God just doesn't really understand how I feel because he's God, he's in heaven. He can't feel my every pain and every emotion. So God said, yeah, I will. And the whole Old Testament is saying the Messiah's coming, the Savior's coming. And when he came, he took care of all the sin in our life, past, present, and our future, so that you could understand serving him is where the true fellowship is all about. You'll serve him in truth, or you'll serve a lie. And there are always consequences with a lie. Do you know that Jesus takes the consequences for you on the truth? Do you know that Jesus looks at us and says, I love you? He said that to a man called David, who ended up being king, who was as guilty of as much or more than the Apostle Paul was as far as it came to murder and rape and all this other garbage. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. The desire of your heart to serve Christ is when God looks at you as already there. You and I are going to battle this fight between our human nature and our spiritual nature. I can tell you, after reading the book, that spiritual should be your key to look at. And the Lord says, I want you to fellowship. Because I fellowship with you, I want you to take what I've done for you, and I want you to share that love with other Christians. Because I'm going to send some people around you, and I want them to hear from me, not from you. That's fellowshipping. We'll either fellowship in God's light or sin's darkness. God's light or sin's darkness. God says, which one are you going to fellowship with? You want to know who you love the most? See who you fellowship with the most. Want to know what the greatest concern is in your life? Pay attention to those you run with. I was associated with every kind of criminal element in my years as correctional chaplain. I walk with them on the streets, put my arm around them and tell them God loves them. But I was not a part of them. You and I have a choice. And our fellowship will be in the light of Christ. Tell me, how's the darkness done for you? When you're fellowshipping with that which is evil or the darkness, tell me what that's done for you. How's that lifted your life up? How do you find any freedom, any peace in the darkness? 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him, meaning Jesus, and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. All sin. Fellowshipping with God is fellowshipping with God's children. I've told you all before and used as the analogy the baby chickens. I remember it on the farm, and I also remember it when they got them in the store to sell for Easter. And one little chicken get a flaw, the rest of them will peg it to death if you don't protect them. Why? Because they didn't look like the others. How many times do we see that in the human nature? How many times you see it in school? Folks, young people are mean with each other. The younger they are, the more mean they are. Oh, that's a little darling 2-year-old. I'd love to meet a 2-year-old as such a darling. They don't call it the terrible twos for no reason. But that's the human nature. We learn from that, or supposed to. You have that toddler. And you say, okay, I'm going to put you toddlers all together in this room, and I want you to fellowship. You let the adults walk out and watch the blood start flowing over one cookie. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And That's the human nature. And we spend a whole lifetime trying to explain to our children that might be human nature, but it's not the way of love. You share. Okay. And while you're looking, they share. As soon as you turn your back, they're punching another kid out to get their suckers back. That's real life. It happens in adults also. So either we're fellowshipping in God's light, or we're fellowshipping in sin's darkness. Ought to be a reason why sin takes place in the dark and gloomy places. Turn the lights off. I remember in one church where they had, it was a game when I went there they were playing. It's called German in the Darkness. Germans in the Darkness. And they had all the young teenage girls lining up on one end and the teenage boys lining up on the other wall, and they turned the lights out and let them seek out each other. No, that game ended quickly. I know teenagers. I used to be one. God said, let there be light. For the Christian, leave the light on. Leave the light on. And that's the light of God's truth. Leave it on. Finally, you will either fellowship in the freedom of Jesus or Satan's bondage. Now listen to me, Christian. Many Christians right now, those that the rest of us Christians are in heaven with, many Christians fall back into Satan's bondage. Well, you got to keep the law. Remember the law. Why did Jesus come? He came because man could not keep a law. And then the denomination said, hey, this is what you need to look like to make it to heaven. And I'm reading God's word, and what I see in God's word is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And nothing about what you look like, how you dress, has nothing to do with salvation, folks. But our lives should emulate Christ. But I can't do that, preacher. Well, neither can I. But it's the desire in our heart to focus on what is right and what is true. The desire to want to. A lot of people don't want to. A lot of sin because we choose it. Well, sin's fun. Don't ever tell your kids sin's not fun. They'll find out you're a liar the first time. Sin is fun from a worldly standpoint, but payday someday. It always catches up, and it's never bright. It's always darkness. It is never through the freedom of Christ, but always through the bondage of Satan himself. Gospel of John chapter 8 verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I give you the freedom. The freedom to what, Lord? Larry, I've called you to preach, but I give you the freedom not to do it. Really? I mean, Lord, if I quit preaching, you're not going to just zap me? Everything about what God has given us is freedom. America is free because of who Jesus Christ is. Certainly not because of any politicians telling us. It's a gift direct from God. But what happens? Same thing that happened to the Hebrew nation in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. What happened? They got used to being waited on. Oh, what are you talking about? They were slaves. Yes, they were. Mistreated and beaten. But you find as they're leaving Egypt, when Moses is leading them out, they were upset. Well, in Egypt, when we were slaves, we got to eat all the meat we wanted. Pharaoh gave us all that food. He gave you that food so you wouldn't die while you're in slavery, so you could get more done. That's what we want. We want to make brick for Pharaoh. Don't give us freedom. Freedom means I have to make the choice. That's what Christianity is all about. Free choice. And when I said yes to Jesus, he said, you want to stay in the light? You want to see the light of my love? When you see the darkness coming, run. That's Satan's bondage. Sin's darkness. The Lord said that my Father is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I'm in him because of him. So there can be no darkness in that love he has for me and for you. But he says, be careful. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Why do we want to go back to bondage? Or have someone said, this is what you will do for the Lord. Well, you might do it. You won't be doing it for the Lord when it's told to you that way. You're going to go to hell if you don't do that. Only thing that will send you to hell is unbelief. The day you refuse to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and if you die in that state, that's an unpardonable sin. No one's praying you out of anywhere. For who you serve on earth will be who you will serve throughout eternity. And the Lord says, let's fellowship. Let's get together on our fellowship before we go downstairs to eat. It's not about eating. Tonight, about the movie. It's not just about the movie. It's about being with one another in fellowship. You all can watch movies at home, but you can't fellowship there. What are you going to do? Get up and go hug the TV? Fellowship is with each other. That's the peace that we find. Don't you remember that Jesus said, they will know that you are mine when they see you love the brethren. If you cannot love a fellow Christian, why would anybody you've invited to church want to come with you? I mean, if you have eaten their lunch in front of that individual and said, now, will you want to go to church with me? No, I can fight at home. They're not coming. Peace, freedom, fellowship is a direct gift from Almighty God. And either you can accept it or deny it. As I've said many times in the prison systems and all, listen, salvation is free, but so's destruction. You're free to go to heaven and free to go to hell. Choose ye this day which one you want to serve. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. For any of us, Heavenly Father, to get together praising your name. We ask now, Father, that as you touch our hearts, that we will pay attention. That though the darkness surrounds us, that darkness will not keep your light out. We ask the blessing now, Father, on each heart. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.